Turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Reasons for Thanksgiving. We have reasons given to us in this psalm to give thanks to God for. You know, we could sit around, I guess, till he comes and just talk about the things that he's given to us and thank him for just what he's done for us. I've been thinking of that song Bridget Harding sang all the time at 13th Street, "Not Till Then Shall I Know How Much I Owe." I don't remember the title of it. That might be the title, but she sang it at 13th Street all the time. "Not till then shall I know how much I owe." What God has done for us, God Almighty has. I think of that scripture, it says, "It's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's God's pleasure to give you the kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom prepared for us by His Son, by the Trinity, by the whole Trinity, so to speak. But tonight I want us to look at reasons for thanksgiving. Now this psalm is a messianic psalm. As we see in verses 22 and 23, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous. It is amazing in our eyes. Our Lord quoted this in Matthew 21:42. Now, the first verse, and I probably won't cover all this tonight. I'll just go till I get tired, and then I'll stop. But he says here in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks." That just seems to be a pet phrase of David's. I believe David wrote this. Oh, how many times have we read that? Oh. Oh, praise Him, it says in Psalm 117. Oh, praise Him. Here, oh, give thanks. Over in Psalm 115, "Not unto us, oh Lord." Just, that was his favorite phrase. But we have a call here to give thanks, and we have much to be thankful for. More than we know, I know that. But he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." By His standard, He's good. Not by our standard. You know, our standard of good is if it works. God's standard of good is perfection. He's perfectly good. He's good because His mercy endureth forever. For His mercy endureth forever. We are to thank the Lord for all things. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And here are a few reasons why. All things are of God. That's what it tells us in 2 Corinthians. All things are of God. Everything. All things are of God. And that's comforting to know to a child of God. That's comforting to know that all things are of God. Things are not just happening. I said one time many years ago in a message, I may die in an accident, but it will be no accident that I died. All things are of God. All things in the life of a believer are of God. If we could understand how minutely God is involved in our lives, Ray read it a little while ago, He knows the hairs of your head. He knows how many hairs on your head. You don't know that, do you? You don't know how many hairs on your children's head. You don't know how many's on yours. But He does. He does. He knows. And then all things work together for our good. And this is why we give thanks for all things. All things are of God. And all things work together for our good. Romans 8:28. And then all things that are of God, and all things that work together for our good are according to His will. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Everything? In everything, give thanks. Now, this is a comforting statement. It's something to take home with us. In everything, give thanks. For this, and I wrote under this, whatever this is, for you and me, for me, it may be different than what you have right now. Whatever this is, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will concerning you. And you and I are to give thanks for it. Give thanks for it. Whatever this is, give thanks for it. Now, in verse 1 are mentioned two attributes that we are to give thanks for. Especially in this psalm and especially tonight as we look at this psalm. Because these are the root of all that we enjoy. The Lord's goodness and His mercy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He's good. God is great. I used to say a prayer, God is great. God is good. God's good. And we give thanks for His good, that He's good, and for His goodness and His mercy. His everlasting, it says here, His mercy endureth forever. He's talking about His everlasting mercy. You and I cannot use it up. We can't use it up. So, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, because His mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good. It is the essence of His nature. Good is the essence of His nature. Essence means this. The inward nature of God. It means the true substance of God. It means this. Or a constitution of anything as opposed to what is accidental or phenomenal. He's good. The Lord is good. He's nothing but good. He's good. Whatever God is, He is perfectly. He's perfectly. And He can be no more or no less. He can be no more good. I can. You can. You can be better, can't you? In your life, in your conduct, in your attitude, in your thoughts. You can be better. God can't. God can't be good any better. And God cannot be less. He cannot be less good. He's perfectly good. It's who He is. It's who He is. His goodness is seen in three or four areas. Let me just mention a few of them. God's goodness is seen in His creation. You know, when He created everything, and at the end of it, He said He saw that everything He created, that it was very good. It was very, no sin in it. There's no sin in it. He takes care of what no man is. Because He's good to His creation. He takes care of it. He takes care. You know, He put Adam in the garden. He said, dress it and keep it. Well, that's what the Lord does day by day. He does that day by day. He dresses and keeps His creation. He said to Job, do you know when the hinds do calve? No, you don't, Job. But I do. I do. And I'm there when they calve. And I take care of them. I take care of them. He's good to His creation. Listen to Psalm 33:5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of His goodness. The earth continues by His goodness. It does. And then we see God's goodness to humanity. Man by nature hates God. Humanity hates God. We know that by the scriptures. And yet the sun shines on the just and the unjust every day. The rain that fell here the last few days, it not only fell on the garden of those who believe God, it fell on the garden of those who don't believe God. God's goodness is over his creation. God's goodness is over humanity. And we see God's goodness in providence. He makes everything work together for our good, day by day. Listen to Psalm 119:68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Thou art good and you do good. You do good. Providentially, he's blessed us, hasn't he? I had a good day today. You have a good day? Even if you were stressed out today, it was still a good day because it was for your good. Right? It's for your good. But we see God's goodness most in salvation. And we see it in the ones he saves. He saves sinners. He saves a wretch like me. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." It wasn't until God saved him that he said that. "Oh, wretched man that I am." We see God's goodness in the ones he saves. We see God's goodness in the way he saves them. He came into this world. He became incarnate. He took their sins. He went to the cross. He died under the penalty of his own law. He put away their sins. He rose again from the dead. He ascended on high, and there he represents them. That's the goodness of God. And he did. You know why he did it? Not because anything in me and you, but because that's who he is. Because he's good. He's good. You know, when Moses wanted to see God's glory, what did God show him? What? Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory." What did God show? Did God take him up on a hill and show him creation? Did he take him up on a mountain and show him creation? Exodus 33:19, and he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Lord, let me see your glory. Well, here it is. It's my goodness. And in my goodness, listen. And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." And here in my goodness, listen, "and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." And it has to be that way because nobody deserves it. If no one deserves the grace of God, if no one deserves salvation, then it has to be distributed in a sovereign manner. "I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." Do you know anybody better than God to do that? I don't. And then the Lord's, listen, the Lord's mercies flow from his goodness. This is why his mercy endureth forever, because he's good. He's good, and he does good. It says in Psalm 145:9, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." It's over creation, it's over humanity, it's over salvation, the salvation of his people, it's over all of them. Do you know why you and I are not consumed? He gives us the answer in his word. In Lamentations 3:22, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassion, that's why we are not consumed. It's because his mercies fail not. And look here. He gives us here the ones that are to give thanks. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." And then he mentions the ones who are to especially give thanks. I mean, everybody ought to. All of creation ought to. Every human being that's ever been on this earth ought to. God gave him life and breath, and everybody ought to give thanks. But he mentions three here. He says, first of all, in verse 2, "Let Israel..." Let Israel, the elect of God, God's covenant people, "let Israel now say, And the Israel of God is he sitting in his church right here. Paul said, we are the true circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, have no confidence in the flesh. But let them now say that his mercy endureth forever. You know, there's a nation right now in the Middle East that owes its existence to the mercy of God. There's a nation over there right now named Israel that owes its existence to the enduring mercy of God. How many times did God deliver backsliding Israel? He delivered them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into Canaan, even to this 2023. They're still over there. No other nation can make that claim. No other nation. But in reality, now listen, in reality, there is one holy nation on this earth and in heaven that owes its existence to God's saving mercy, and that's the church. That's the church, Zion, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 3, let the house of Aaron, and this really pertains, speaks, I should say, this really speaks to me. Let the house of Aaron, the ministers of the Lord, these are the ones who stood daily and offered the sacrifice, who daily saw the mercy of God morning and evening. They offered that lamb morning and evening. They offered the lamb. They saw the mercy of God in that sacrifice. I sit in the study. You all have to go out to work out there in this world. I sit in the study. And page after page, and I read the scriptures, and I get to see the mercy of God on every page, day after day. And it's my privilege and responsibility to come out into this pulpit and speak to you of the mercy of God. God's enduring mercy. It endureth forever. It endureth forever. Now, just in case somebody says, and I thought about it this way. I thought some baby in Christ. The baby in Christ, they don't understand. They don't really understand that they are the true Israel of God by faith in Christ. They don't really can't grasp that. And they sure don't feel like they're a minister or a preacher or a pastor or anything in that capacity. Well, this one's got you covered. Let them now that fear the Lord, Jew or Gentile, whoever, wherever they be, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. That's what we are talking about, God's enduring mercy. It endureth forever. Everyone who has experienced saving mercy know that it's forever. Forever. Whatever the Lord doeth, the scripture says, he doeth forever. And his saving mercy is forever. Now here in verse 5 is mercy experienced. You see, the Lord's goodness is seen in hearing and answering our prayers. I called upon the Lord in distress. You ever done that? Usually that's when we really call upon the Lord is in distress. We usually have to be in distress to do so. But I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me. He answered me. And set me in a large, gave me more than I asked for. Gave me more than I expected. He set me in a large place, it says. But I called upon him in distress. This is mercy, that God even moved you to call upon him. God gave you the understanding to call upon him. That's mercy. And because of God's goodness and God's favor or God's mercy, we can say this. The Lord is on my side. The Lord's on my side. What a powerful statement. David, who I believe wrote this, surrounded by his enemies, the nation, because he says here they've all compassed me about. He's surrounded by them. But he can sit down and go to sleep for this one reason. The Lord's on my side. It doesn't matter if all of hell and all the world, all the armies of the world, it doesn't matter if they're against me, if the Lord's on my side. It doesn't matter. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. I will not live in fear. I'm not going to live in fear on this earth. I said to my doctor today, he came in, he had a mask on. And they had me to put a mask on. And I took it off. I said, how long do we have to live in the ICU? He said, I don't know, but I wish we didn't have to. And he said, I don't do it. You know, at home, he said, I have to do it here. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in fear of man. I'm not going to live in fear of a disease. I'm not going to live in fear because the Lord's on my side. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord is on my side. Listen, I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, Pilate said, don't you know? He said to Christ, don't you know? I have the power to crucify you, and I have the power to let you go. And the Lord said, you have no power at all except to be given to you from above. That's all the power you got. He's on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, our Lord is the example here. Our Lord showed no fear of men, didn't he? When they came out to get him in the darkness, their Garden of Gethsemane, did he run? Did he run? Did he hide behind his disciples? He just said, I am. When they asked, I'm he. I'm the one you're looking for. Not even when they took him to be crucified did he fear. Ray read it in Luke, and it's also written in Matthew 10:28. He says, don't fear men. I'll tell you who to fear. Fear God, who's able to cast both body and soul into hell. Don't you fear men who can kill the body only, but fear God. Fear God, who can cast both body and soul into hell. Put your fear in the right person. Or said, the Lord's on my side, I'll not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord, look at verse 7. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. The Lord is with them that help me. Now, he's against those that are against me. I looked at it this way. The Lord is with them who are helpers of the cause of Christ. Just like right now. I'm standing here preaching the gospel of the glory of God. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of his salvation. Speaking of God's sovereignty. In the sense, we are with him. And the Lord is with us because we are with him. You see, he's saying here, the Lord is with, he takes my part with them. He's with them that help me. Therefore, I'll see my desire on them that hate me. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ have God's favor. That's the best way to put it. You have God's favor. And then we find out this. We find out by experience, by the word of God and by experience, it's better to trust the Lord than anything else or anyone else. Isn't it? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Man will lie. Man will disappoint. Man will lie and man will die. Never put confidence in something so fickle. Something so transitory, which is man. We all have a time to be born and a time to die. And don't put confidence in anything or anyone so fickle. It says in John 2:25, and the Lord is speaking, Speaking here of the Lord, it said, and he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knows what's in man. It's better to trust the Lord than your closest friend. It's better to trust the Lord. Job would tell you that. His three friends came and they were miserable comforters. They were miserable comforters. It's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. They are men with titles. That's all they are. They're just men with titles. They're no different. We take away the title, take away the garb that they're dressed in, and what do you have? A sinful man. That's what you got. You know, they talk about nobility and royalty. Their blood is just like ours. Their blood is, he is made of one blood, all nations. And all nations have fallen. All nations have sinned. All men have sinned. When you strip it down, we're all just nothing but sinful men and women. That's what we are. That's what the Word of God says. And then we see in verse 10 through 14, we see the hatred and the true nature of the world toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. The world, listen, the world is not your friend. That's the truth. It's not your friend. Listen, all nations, in verse 10, all nations compass me about. They've all surrounded me. David is saying, all these nations have surrounded me. They're all against me. And they represent the world, surrounded the Lord's church. You know, when the Lord came into the world didn't know him. When he came to his own received him not. They hated him. Christ said, if they hated me, they'll hate you too. They'll hate you also. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord, I'll destroy them. Our Lord has destroyed our enemies. If we look at this in a real spiritual sense, he has destroyed all our sins. He's put them away. He's broken the power of sin, that nature of sin. He's broken the power of Satan. He's destroyed them. And how did he do it? By his death. By his death on the cross. His death is the death of death. He says in verse 11, they compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I'll destroy them. They compass me about like bees. There's only one thing that I know that compasses me about like bees. They swarm about me like bees. It's my sins. It's my sins. They're like bees, just swarming. There's so many of them. So many. But listen here, they are quenched as the fire of thorns. They're like thorns being burned up in a fire. For in the name of the Lord, now listen, not in my name, not in my strength, not in my power. I cannot overcome sin. You cannot overcome that sinful nature you're born with. It's too powerful. But he can. He can. He says there in verse 13, thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. This is that spiritual warfare that's constantly coming at you. Satan, sin, that old Adamic nature, constantly coming at you that you might fall. That you might fall. But the Lord helped me. How many times has the Lord helped you under temptation? How many times? How many times has he lifted you out? How many times? Time and time again. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. In verse 14, I'm going to close with this verse because there's just too many verses to try to cover. There are three things here that the Lord is to me. There are three things that he is to me. The Lord is my strength. He's my strength. And song, we sang about it just a little bit ago, sang about him. And he's become my salvation. Jesus Christ is my strength. He said, without me, you can do nothing. He's the strength of my faith. He's the strength of my faith. You take your eyes off of him like Peter did, and you'll start to drown. Christ is the strength of our faith. He's my song. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. He's the subject of my song. You know, I sang a, you know this too, when you were younger and growing up, and you sing along with the radio, all kinds of songs. You sing about anything that was on the radio. But now, listen, the Lord's my song. He's my song. He's put a song in my heart. He's put a song of rejoicing in my heart. I have something to sing about. Really. And he's my salvation. In Jesus Christ, I am complete. That's what the Word of God says in Colossians. I'm complete in him. He is my wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's everything I need to stand before God Almighty. Jesus Christ is all that I need. He's my all and in all. The Lord Jesus Christ is. He's my all and in all. He is my salvation. He's become, it says, my salvation. I have hope in nothing else and no one else. I don't have any hope anywhere else, in anyone else, anything else. One day I and you are going to come up to die. And the only hope we have is that man seated at God's right hand. That man. It's not me and that man. It's not me and, it's him who lived for me, died for me, rose for me, intercedes for me, and is coming for me. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I can't give you any better news. I can't do it. The Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing one, the creator of heaven and earth, he's my strength. He's my song. And he is my salvation. And I think that's a good one to end on. All right.